Today I want to talk about the stars of Christmas. You've heard of the star of Christmas, the star in the east in Matthew 2, it says in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. Does it say three, by the way? We just saw three wise men. Why do we think there were three? Because they brought three gifts. And I think it was three wise men. And they came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Herod didn't like that, because he was the king of the Jews. He was the star. And they said, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. The star. Well, we know Jesus is the star of Christmas. We're going to end with that. But I would like to talk about the other cast members in the first three chapters of the book of Luke. If you look in your Bibles, and we won't have time to read three chapters of Luke and dismiss in time for your figgy pudding to not be burnt, you're going to find seven characters that are, according to the world, very powerful people. They have the power. They have the authority. They have the ear of the masses. They have the, they can speak and it happens. The seven are what epitomizes the world's glory and might. If we were to write about them, we would write about these seven people. As a matter of fact, that's what the world did. They wrote great histories of their exploits of these first seven. We find mention in the first three chapters, number one, Tiberius Caesar. Of course, the Roman emperor. Rome was the world power. Today we say America is the leader of the free world. Rome was the leader of the world, because there wasn't such a thing as the free world. There was Rome. That was it. They were a world dominant empire. And Tiberius Caesar was the leader and was worshipped. They would worship the Caesars of Rome. He is mentioned. Also, another one is mentioned. Pontius Pilate is mentioned early in the book of Luke. He was the prefect or the governor of Judea. So he is also Roman, very powerful. The Judea region was a very large and important region to Rome. And then we find mentioned Herod. Herod was the client king, or you might call him the puppet king, of Israel for Rome. Then we have Philip, who was another regional ruler in Israel. Licinius, another regional ruler of Israel. Annas, the Roman appointed high priest, not a godly man at all. He was not only a religious leader in Israel, he was also a social and political leader in Israel. As when you read about him in the story of Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion, he is certainly there swaying socially and politically, as well as as a high priest. And then his son-in-law, Caiaphas, is also mentioned there, who was the high priest during the time of the trial of Christ. But really, both of them were still acting in power and in influence. So with the Roman emperor and the empire over which he ruled, Rome, the Roman governor and all of Judea, Herod and his court, Annas and Caiaphas, and with them the whole apostate nation that would soon crucify the Lord. These seven are mentioned. These seven mighty and great and glorious people are mentioned in the Bible. Do you know how many verses that they received in the first three chapters of Luke? These stars got 1.5 verses total. Now, let's look at another list of seven people that we find in the first three chapters of the book of Luke. These seven take up 132 verses. Okay, so if we're judging by how many mentions they get in Scripture, their importance, we would say these seven are the stars of the Christmas story. Not the ones that thought they were the stars, not the ones that the world has given glory and honor to, but the ones that God has recognized and given them glory and honor, not just in the scripture, but I'm positive for all eternity. We'll hear much more about these seven. The first one we read about is Zacharias. Zacharias was a godly man. He was a servant in the priesthood. He was a man that would serve in the temple, and he was of the line of Aaron. He was going to be, and the story in Luke 1 through 3 is of his son, John the Baptist. His wife, Elizabeth, was also mentioned here, one of the seven. She was another humble but righteous. The Bible describes her as one of the daughters of Aaron, so she also had priestly blood in her, and she was older, and she was barren, and they weren't expecting to have children, but a great miracle took place, and she had John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Christ. And then we come to Mary. Of course, everyone knows Mary. I was meeting some folks at the door today, and they haven't been in town for a year. They used to come here, and they said, "How's Mary?" And my first thought was, are they talking about the pageant Mary, the character Mary in our pageant? Because I know we had a new Mary this year, but I'm like thinking, how would they know that, you know? So I stood there probably looking very confused. And then I realized they're talking about the wonderful Mary that's been part of our church, Mary Smith. And now she's in a place that's harder to get to here, so she's not here every Sunday, but she's in her 90s, sweetest lady. And I spoke to her this week and wished her a happy birthday, December 22nd. And she said, "I'm still breathing, Pastor." Still breathing. That's her way of just thanking the Lord for life. But this Mary was another very humble, really obscure. You never would have heard of Mary, never would have heard of Mary if it weren't for the fact that she happened to be the mother of the Christ, which is incredible. Very humble, very righteous, very lowly, but sweet, not sinless, by the way. She wasn't conceived without sin, as some people think. She, according to Scripture, if we're going to follow the Bible, she was as much of a sinner as the rest of us, but she had a perfect son because he was born of the Holy Ghost, Mary. And then another important character in that story is Joseph, her espoused husband and the legal father of Jesus. Joseph, though, wasn't anybody. He was just a carpenter. He was just a woodworker. I mean, not a real extremely low. It's better than picking up garbage, I guess, but certainly not a real high position socially. A carpenter. Then we come to the fifth star of the story of Christmas, and that is Simeon. Simeon, just and devout, but obscure, righteous, was in the temple worshiping. He had been told by God that he would not die before he saw the Christ. And when he saw the Christ, he rejoiced. And he, I'm sure, had tears of joy. And he prophesied. So did another character that we find in the first three chapters of Luke. And that is Anna. Another woman that is pretty much obscure. This is the only mention that we get of her. But the Bible describes her as, of course, elderly, but also as a righteous Jewish prophetess. So she prophesied as she saw Jesus there in the temple. And then the last one is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, we know of him, but you probably never would have heard of him because he was just a desert preacher. Powerful man as far as preaching goes, but if you were to look at him, you would probably run the other way, the way he was dressed and what he ate. But obviously, an amazing man of God as featured prominently in the Word of God. These second seven represent the faithful ones, the people of God, the believers, those that had put their faith and trust in the coming Messiah. And these people got so many mentions, 132 verses in the first three chapters of the book of Luke. I find that very interesting. The power and might of the world barely get a mention, basically just so you can get an understanding of the history, the timeline. But then these humble people we never would have heard about are mentioned over and over and over in the very Word of God. I believe there's a lesson here. If you want to be a star, Be humble and trust in the Lord God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will lift you up. Of course, the real star of Christmas, you know, none of these characters really are stars in that sense. The real star of Christmas is none other than Jesus, born and lived a perfect life. Let me read to you Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. This is one of my favorite parts of the musical, and I like to stand in the back and watch the entire crowd as the angel appears on the scene and burst, the light bursts forth and the sound bursts forth, and the people all as a group just go like this, and they just jump. And then I know we've achieved what we were trying to achieve. Shocking, kind of shocking the crowd. And boy, they were shocked. They were just out there doing their work, minding their own business, and suddenly the angel of the Lord spoke to them, and the choirs of the angels spoke to them. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so Jesus is the star of all stars, the one that came and He died. It seemed like the star had been extinguished when He died. But you know what? He died for a purpose. He died for a reason. He died for your sins and for mine. That's the whole point of Christmas. He came to die. He died for you, a Savior for all the world. And I promise you, it's very likely that there's a few in this room that you're not certain and positive of your eternal destiny. And I'd like to, for you to listen very carefully for the next few words that I use is how you could receive what the Bible describes as the unspeakable gift. It's a gift so grand and so incredible that we can't even hardly describe it with words. We like to use an illustration here that we call kind of the hand gesture, the wallet illustration. And let me use this again today and show you this, because sometimes you can hear it, but sometimes it's better to see it. Watch. Let this represent sin. Let this represent all of us. This is our condition. This is why God sent His Son, announced by the star, His star in the east. We have sin. Our sin separates us from a perfect and righteous and holy God. Let this be the Lord Jesus. That sin is what keeps us from heaven. That sin is what breaks the relationship. That sin that started in the garden continues on, and we see it all around us. We should see it in our own lives if we're honest. Sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's really bad news. I'm glad on this Christmas day I don't have to end with bad news. But there's really, really, really good news. And let this represent Jesus. He had no sin. Watch. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, who died as an innocent sacrifice for you, He loved you so much, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He paid your sin debt. That's already happened. Now what you must do is receive this gift. You say, how? Well, we put it on the walls. Some of you can see it, for by grace are you saved through faith. So how are we saved? By works, by coming to church on Christmas Day, by giving Christmas offerings? No, the Bible says we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. If there's any better day to understand a gift, today's the day. How many of you opened presents today? Okay. How many opened your presents last night? How many of you didn't get anything? We're going to get you something. I don't know what. Maybe a candle. I don't know. But the gift that is the greatest gift in the entire world is Jesus dying for your sins. And that's offered to you as a gift by God. And if you'll just receive that, how? By faith. What does that mean? That means believe. That means stop trusting in your religion. Stop trusting in yourself. Start trusting in the Savior. He is the Savior of anyone who believes. Just trust and place your trust and your faith in Him, not your priest or pastor, because we can't save you, not in your prayers or your penance, because those are works, but in Jesus, the person, the very person, the very Son of God. So believe in Him, according to the Bible. You will not perish, but have everlasting life.